Amen. Does everybody have their jelly bean? Okay. What this exercise is going to do is help us to recognize that we are different and that also our children have differences and we have different strengths and weaknesses that we need to use in terms of parenting and recognizing that in our kids. Those of you who chose either white or black, can I ask you to stand up? Okay, now we're going to learn something about these individuals that chose white or black.
That means they're shark supporters.
And you can speak to your spouse about whether or not these things. So if you chose white or black, this individual is highly structured and organized.
Stand up.
Surroundings are neat. If given an assignment, he or she wants to know how many pages and the exact requirements. Always wants to know the rules, memorizes things well, can't stand sloppy, unorganized people, and deliberates before making decisions. Okay. Those of you who chose yellow, can we ask you to stand up? Okay. Once you have sat down, you may eat it. Okay. John's going nuts in the front here. Yellow, you're not usually outspoken. You're always in a state of transition, whether you're 8 or 80. You're usually smart and innovative and often artistic. Sometimes confused in making decisions, not sure where they're supposed to be. They're hard workers, exciting to be with, will try anything as long as it's safe. Spiritual aspects are usually important to them. They look at things with perspective and respect others' opinions.
Whoa, come on.
Okay, can we ask the orange? Orange. Only one.
Right, keep standing.
Come on, stand up. You are cheerful and good-natured. You have the ability to get along with almost anyone. They're usually friendly and have a ready smile. They usually have a quick wit, fluent, often eloquent, and profound in speech. They do not like to be alone. They enjoy life and inspire others to reach their highest potential. Okay, red and pink. Red or pink?
Yeah.
Woo! Okay. You are courageous and their energy seems boundless. They smile much of the time. If they see someone not smiling, they will ask what the problem is. They genuinely care about people and become involved in others' problems. They're highly influenced by others. They share their sadness or grief. They make their decisions with feelings and act on impulses of the heart. They spend a great deal of time on the phone, usually listening to others. Sensitive, enthusiastic friends and lovers. Woo! Okay, the purple or the dark blue or blue? Ooh! Ooh! Flirty and passionate. Highly creative and highly excitable. They have new ideas and are visionaries. Short attention span. Can't stay put for a long length of time. Disorganized, often choosing to close doors rather than deal with the organization. Procrastinators who thrive on chaos. They enjoy the challenge of different problems. They have a problem dealing with highly structured time. Questioning, when given an assignment, they ask why it must be done a certain way. They want to do it differently. Set high standards for themselves and those who work for them. Okay. Can we ask the last one of the greens?
Got
who's
a
green?
There we go.
We always ask the green to stand because they love recognition. These people are seen as leaders, usually in highly visible positions. They are respecters of authority and tradition. They are decisive, directed, and focused. They love black and white jelly beans people to organize their projects for them. Okay. Just a short, quick exercise to look at the differences we have and to, as I said, highlight those differences because our children are the same. We have different strengths and weaknesses, and we are a community that needs each other so that we can help each other and use those strengths and weaknesses. So that's what we want to focus on today, to recognize that. Amen.
Great. Amen. That was exciting. Well, this moves us on to a significant religious influence survey that we'll see up on the screen here. And as you can see, this was done in the States. And this is the most significant influences in leading our children to faith. Okay, now, for what this is worth, there is something that we can get out of this survey. And that is very important here. As you can see, through the survey done, is that the first 2 points are the most significant influences in leading our children to faith. And that's the mother and the father, and we can see it from boys to girls. Then number 3 is the pastor. Okay, that's Vanna. The grandparents, Sunday school, youth groups, church groups, and retreats are right at the bottom. And so this is a survey done to, I think, about 1 million children and 1 million parents also. And these were the results that came out of this. And the point that I want to take from this, and this leads me to the first point this morning, it is significant that we have faith at home. Faith at home. Christianity and raising our kids is not this 1 hour slot once a week or twice a week, but it all starts with our lifestyle, our life at home. And what parents do is 2 to 3 more times influential than any church program. Church programs are important. They're there to glue the community with one another. But the most significant influence is 2 to 3 times more important is what is happening at home. And that's where we have to focus this whole thing of how are we raising our kids? What is happening at home? It's no good that we arrive at church or we arrive here all excited, but at home, things are just falling apart. And we need that help, and doors are being slammed, and voices are being raised, and unspirituality is taking place. Our kids haven't got much of a chance in following Christ and getting the roots right in their lives if we're not starting with faith at home.
I presume everybody's got their booklet. Does everybody have a pen? Because there were. But you'll see as we go along, you can follow in there as well. I think the most important thing that we need to think about is that on this point of retreats and what mom and dad do at home is that children don't actually grow up. Do you need a pen? Oh, okay. The point that we need to think about is children don't grow up to be like their friends. Who do we grow up to be like? Yeah, we grow up to be like our parents. And we can see on this slide here, children imitate what their parents do. Children seldom misquote you. They usually repeat word for word what you should not have said. Okay. But that's so true. That I mean, I hear it so much more. People saying to me, and even Dunks will say to me, you sound just like your mother. Okay. But we do. And I think these are some of the sweet and funny examples. These are some of the not so funny ones. You know, I mean, where do these little ones learn? There's a little child sleeping in a pub while his parents are having a party. There's a child, they're making a joke of him putting a cigarette in their mouth. But what are these children going to learn as they continue to grow up? In your handout, we read here, if children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. If children live with pity, they learn to feel sorry for themselves. If children live with ridicule, they learn to feel shy. If children live with jealousy, they learn to feel envy. If children live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If children live with tolerance, they learn patience. If children live with praise, they learn appreciation. If children live with acceptance, they learn to love. If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If children live with recognition, they learn it is good to have a goal. If children live with sharing, they learn generosity. If children live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. If children live with fairness, they learn justice. If children live with kindness and consideration, they learn respect. If children live with security, they learn to have faith in themselves and in those about them. If children live with friendliness, they learn the world is a nice place in which to live.
And maybe the question that we need to ask is, how successful is the average family in instilling Jesus into their children? And maybe a question that you can take home and a small exercise that you can do sometime in the next week is ask your children, no matter what age they are, as long as they can speak, amen, who would you say that dad or mum is in love with? Who would you say that dad or mum is in love with? Our children will love and will have a good chance of loving who we love. And if we love that person deeply and they can see us living that faith at home, there's a very good chance that our children will want to follow that. What do you think? What is a good parent? How would you define a good parent? Anyone? Good parent. Just a word. Yes, Jack. Unconditional love. Great point. Consistent. Forgiving. Patient. Yes, great one. Good boundaries. Grace. And now all of these things are important. All of these things are amazing. But we could also look at it as a good parent is one who helps to lead their children away from death and towards life. Eternal life. And that's the common goal that we have here. Yes, we need to show more grace. Yes, we need to show more love. Yes, we need to show all of those things. But the common goal is to lead our children away from death, which is sin, and towards eternal life, which is Christ. There's a survey in the States of, I think, just over 1 million children who are following Christ. You've got some type of relationship with Christ in their hearts. And the survey states that these children as teens, say from 13 to 19, they are following Christ as best as they know. But the survey goes on, and these are horrific stats. And it says that when they reach their 20s, 60 to 90% of those children will forsake their walk with God. And the survey even goes on and says, will never ever return to a walk with God. And what do you think the number one reason is? Anyone? It starts with an H. Hypocrisy. The number one reason is hypocrisy. And where does that maybe start is faith at home. What's happening in the home? What's going on in the home? Or are we living a life where we are on a treadmill? And when you're on a treadmill, things are pretty consistent. But it just keeps on going round and round and round. And the more you're on it, the more you want to be on it, just keeps on going round. And we want more in life. Want to consume more in life. Want to achieve more in life. We desire more in life. And we're passing all of those things on to our children. And we're on this treadmill that just goes round and round. And we're not instilling the right values into our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is a scripture that we know backwards, amen. That you can wake up at midnight and what does D6 say? The D6 scripture, and you can quote it like this. So I'm not even going to read it, but there's some important aspects in understanding verses 4 to 9. And maybe this is something that you can do in your own quiet time. The word "so that" comes up 3 times. Your homework is to find out what are the answers to the "so that." There are 3 points. And this is why this is passed on from generation to generation. And in verse 2 it says, "so that their children may fear God." Point number 1. The next "so that," "so that you may enjoy a long life." Point number 2. The next one is, "so that it may go well with you and you may increase greatly." There are 3 "so that's" there, and they're amazing answers. And then God's word goes on to, and it speaks about, "these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." And it goes on. Do you realize that 3 out of those 4 things are done at the home? 75%. When you sit down at home, and we sit down a lot at home, don't we? Sit on the edge of our bed to tie our laces. Sit in front of the TV quite a lot in winter. You know, a lot to do in front of the TV because we can't go outside. You know, sit down when we eat. You know, we are sitting down a lot. Speaks about when you walk along the road. This is many years ago. We don't really walk along the road these days. We drive along the road. So you have to substitute driving in there. You know, and what should we be doing in our cars when we are as a family? A lot can be done in a car. Amen. But that's not in the home. And then it goes on and speaks about when you lie down. You don't lie down in the office place, or you shouldn't, maybe on a Friday afternoon, but we lie down at home. Are you with me? You know? And when you get up, where do you get up? You don't, you know, you wake up at home. And these are the things which we can speak about a bit later. It's 75% of the things are happening at home. John 15 verse 5 says, "Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Fruit needs the tree to mature. Children need parents to grow. That's just the way that God made it. And that's where we come in. This is God's plan. It's, yes, we put this amazing tree and the fruit are there, but the tree's important. The root produces the fruit. That's just the way that it works in life. In John 15 verse 7 it says, "But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted." In verse 10, "When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love." And these are just amazing principles, amazing things to bring into the family about remaining in Christ and growing. And in this room, we aren't all at the same stage, and that's great. That's the beautiful thing about God's church. That's the amazing thing. And no one get overwhelmed. Just maybe take one point from this morning, and let's start implementing that. It's how can we have a D6 home, a faith at home. And there are many ways to implement this.
Oops. In your handout, you'll see we've got a page there with categories of developmental assets. And we've got 40 down there. And these are positive experiences and qualities that children need as they grow up, that youth need and children need in order to become caring and responsible adults. And so obviously we as parents want to be able to instill these assets in our children. And what we learn actually is that 30 of these assets require a faith relationship and faith in God. But you'll see the categories. I'm not going to read it all through. You can talk as couples, you know, when you get home. But the categories of support, and then it goes into subcategories of what does support mean. You've got family support, positive family communication, and then it goes on to even schooling and the parent involvement in schooling. Then you've got empowerment. You've got boundaries and expectations, constructive use of time, commitment to learning, positive values, social competencies, and positive identity. So those are the main categories and the subcategories to show you the developmental assets that children need. Now, obviously, and what they've shown, what studies have shown, is that the more developmental assets that children have, the more likely they are to avoid certain high-risk behaviors. And what we have here also in your handout is here is a graph. Can you just move back? You can see here on the one side, it shows those children that have religious community. And there's graphs for the haves, so children who and youth who have religious community, meaning a church environment, and children who have and understand the importance of being spiritual, so a spiritual life at home as well. And you see the difference between those that have the religious community and don't have, and how those particular, they've worked on these particular developmental assets. Restraint at the top, the green one, is the ability to know and not want to engage in sex and high-risk behaviors and alcohol and drugs and those sort of things. It's number 31 on your list. It talks about restraint as a developmental asset. Am I going too fast? Are you with me? Okay. Then the next one is also number 4 is the red, and that's a caring neighborhood. That's your supportive community. And that's obviously your church environment and also at home as well. And that also shows that kids who have these things are much more likely to show these assets. The other one is number 2, the positive family communication, and that's something we're going to develop a bit later on, an active communication with parents. And then also number 8, which is the blue, the youth feeling that they are useful to society. So again, it's looking at, you know, religious community and a spiritual life at home, and for kids to understand that they have the desire to be spiritual. Does that make sense? Okay. Then the next one shows, and I just added these. I thought that was an interesting. I thought I've seen lots of piercings, but that's. We don't want our kids engaging in high-risk behaviors. Okay, here. And this, again, is a graph showing, again, the religious community, the importance of being spiritual versus those who don't have it, and the difference that those who have are less likely to engage in high-risk behaviors. So it's quite interesting when you see, and the thing, again, why we want to instill these developmental assets in our children. And they're going to learn it from us. We can't sort of sit back and say, oh, well, you know, I hope that they get to learn it from school or they get to learn it from the person at, you know, childcare or wherever else. You as parents want to make sure you're instilling. And obviously the different high-risk behaviors they chose to focus on here was drugs, cigarettes, school problems, alcohol, driving and alcohol, antisocial behavior. So we're giving our kids a much better opportunity and start if we can instill these values in them from while they're very young. I don't know if you want to add anything on there, Dan.
Great. That is all very interesting stuff. And I really want us to realize how blessed we are. Do you realize how blessed you are in this room? because we've got everything. We should have a faith at home base. We've got an amazing community, amazing small groups. We can laugh with each other, cry with each other, get help from each other. And I think our graph should even be through the roof. The extent should be like this, high rise compared to these. This is worldly religion. Our first century religion should be like this. Are you with me? And that's excitement, and that's a belief that we need to have in this room. Yes, we've all got faults. Yes, we all fall short, whatever. We've got this and that going on. But, man, we are blessed. Amen. And that leads me on to some practicals here is how do we instill this faith at home? How do we, and guys, I really want to be able to start off by speaking to the fathers here. It's so important that the men in this room, it all starts with us. It all starts with us leading at home. That we are leading at home, that we are setting up these amazing faith at home structures in our family and allowing God to work through that. Amen. How do we build into the framework of our family? How can we have this faith talk, the so-called faith talk at home? And the first point here is seize teachable moments. Are you with me? And that spells out the T here. It's so important. It's God gives us so many moments. And this is where we need to be open to God's Spirit, open to the environment around us, open to the family that God's blessed us with. There are so many opportunities to be able to teach our kids about God wherever we are. Whether you're seeing the sea and the waves rolling in, whether you're seeing the sun going up or going down, whether you're seeing a mountain, whether you're seeing rocks, there is so many things to teach our kids about God continuously. It shouldn't just be on a Monday night. That may be important, you know, but it should be continuously we're talking about God, seizing teachable chances continuously through the day. We've just had amazing retreat with Van and Lisa, and what an opportunity to be able to just talk continuously about God with the environment that we're in. And be able to use illustrations with the rocks around us and things around us on the way that God wants us to build. And it's all these opportunities that we're blessed with that need to be continuous in our life. Goes on, the R here is repetition. It is so important that we are repeating things continuously as we're talking about our faith talk at home. It's being repeated from different angles. That is not boring, but it's being repeated. If our kids aren't listening or whatever, we're coming from every type of angle to try and instill the principles that God wants us to instill, but there is a lot of work coming in from every angle. Here, God's word in that we just read just says that we need to impress this on our children. What does impress mean? It means that you need to repeat it. Impress, impress, impress. It means repeat, repeat, repeat. As you sit, as you drive, as you lie down, and as you get up. That means repeating continuously, that as you're waking up in the morning, it's sort of implying that the first thing before our kids go to school, we are impressing Christ in them before they leave for school. It's suggesting that before they go to bed, we are impressing Christ into their lives before they go to bed. It speaks about that as we are sitting down to have a meal as a family, we are impressing Christ into their lives. And maybe just conversation, and through that conversation, God's Spirit is working in our lives because an issue comes up and what's happened at school, and we can impress. So it's not just this organized religion. It's allowing God to just move in the way that God wants to move in the family at home But our lenses and our eyes are open to it continuously. And that's what it's speaking about in D6 here. It's all about impressing continuously. The A is acceptance. And someone mentioned here, unconditional love. Is we need to accept our children for who they are. Everyone this morning chose a different jelly bean. And different things were read about each color. And what is so unique about all of that, we as a community need to accept one another. And that is broken down to in the family at home too, our kids aren't going to be the same. Most certainly not. And this is where the challenge comes in. This is where, like, God, I don't know what I'm doing. It worked for this child, but man, it is not working here. It would be nice if A works continuously, but maybe we have to apply G here to maybe make things work. And that's just the way that we are. We aren't the same, and one thing may work for one child, most certainly may not work for the other. And so when folk come to me, man, help me here, I'm like, well, I don't have all the answers. Really don't. It's the most challenging thing, raising children, and the most exciting thing too. Amen. The I here is intentional. There needs to be daily intentional, as we've spoken about, repetition, but daily focus. A desire that our kids are going to become disciples of Christ. There needs to be that desire in each one of our hearts here. And that's where it starts. And that we as parents are praying about it away from our kids before we go to bed. God, I don't know what I'm doing, but man, my desire in my heart is not that my kid gets the best job in this land. Not that they get the best education. Yes, we want to try and provide the best we can. Don't get me wrong, but your greatest desire in your heart is that your kid gets into an amazing relationship with Christ that is growing and they are in love with God. And that needs to be the greatest desire, and that's what brings us together as a group here this morning. And the N here, the N for train, the T-R-A-I-N, is never ending. It's never ending. Do you understand that? There's no time off. No time off. Even as they grow up and leave home, it's never ending. We will be involved in their life and in converting our grandchildren, which is so exciting. Isn't that incredible? I'm starting to think on those terms. Man, I wonder what my grandchildren are going to be like. I can't wait to do a study with them. You know, I wonder if I'll be welcomed in to do a study with them to help them from generation to generation. It's never ending. And this is what it's about, guys. See the big picture here. See what God's chosen us for. This is not just and maybe our kids aren't quite there yet. Don't lose hope. No one lose hope. No one. Don't get guilted out. Yes, we've made mistakes, but don't get guilted out. It's never ending, and it continues. And maybe it will be when they're 35 that they make it, but it's never ending. And even when they make it, it's not stopping. Because they're going to go through wobbles, and you're going to be 75, and you can have to help out your 35-year-old, and that's the way it is. As folk are helping us, it's never ending. Amen. Lise, would you like to sum up there, and then we can...
Just one thing that I feel that's so important is prayer as a couple and as a family. You know, I think, and those are teachable moments that come up, and you can use prayer. You know, I thought one example that is when we're driving and we see an accident that happens on the side of the road, we always, as a family, we pray for the people in that car. We pray for protection over our car and for our family, and that God will work in those people's lives to help them become Christians through whatever's happened, to teach them that God is in control of everything. You know, when problems happen at school, that we come home and we talk, let's pray about how we're going to deal with this. What should we deal with? How should we go about it? And including the children in that. So prayer is a very important aspect of building spirituality into the framework of your home. Bible study, again, and those are the different practicals and things that come into that. Family service, another thing is doing poor projects or other family service as a family together. It teaches your children so much. It shouldn't be something where they stay at home and you go off and do the soup kitchen or the, you know, even making a meal for a family who maybe have moved house, or that your whole family is involved. Get the children involved in choosing a meal or whatever, but that you go as a family to deliver it, or write encouragement notes. If someone's just had a baby, the whole family is involved in doing that. So the whole family learns to serve the church as well and to serve other people and within the family. I think an important point as well, just... How much are we doing around for time? A little. Okay. Just to invite others in. I think as we talked about being a community, that we do have such an amazing advantage over the world, you know, in that we can help each other. And we shouldn't be worried about what so-and-so thinks or what so-and-so thinks. It's more, I need help. What do you think? How can we handle this situation? So that we have that in inviting each other in. This is what's going on with my child. What do you think I should do? Whether you even start by just praying together, it just gives you hope that, hey, somebody's with me in this. I think also that our children are involved in who we're studying the Bible with, that they're praying about it, that they're so-and-so is coming over. Let's pray before they get here. Let's pray that the Bible... impacts them, and they're very involved in who you're studying the Bible with and who's becoming a Christian. Amen. I'll let you.
So basically that just sums up the first point here, which is faith at home. And at home we need to have faith talk. The T is what? Teachable. Great. The R is repetition. The A is acceptance, the I is intentional, and the N is never ending. It is continuous, never ending training. Amen. At this time, we are going to
have a coffee break.
There
we go. Thanks. Thank you so much. Well, what we're going to do is it is freezing. I'm sure you're